Al-Bari, the maker of order. Al-Khaliq, the Creator. Thank you. Good morning. My name is Clay Sletta.
I'm Emily.
Thank you for coming out today. This has been, about a couple months in the making. Emily and I are friends, and we're both artists. And I guess today we wanted to come together and collaborate using our amazing gifts and blessings. The songs you hear today are from the Quran, from specifically the 99 beautiful names of God. And I chose a few songs, and then
I took those songs and those sounds and listened to them, like you do with most songs, and kind of derived a specific color or a specific motion from the sounds that I hear to kind of bring about what we'll talk about later, the meditative nature of music and visual art, art in general.
Yeah. So I suppose right now we would like to invite you for a brief meditation session right now.
Okay. To create is to breathe.
Inhale. We take in our environment, we absorb, we become filled.
Exhale. We release. We return to the world the newly manifested results of its inspiration, experience, and phenomena.
Well, we can breathe in for four through your nose and out through your mouth for four. So breathe in. And then out. Creation, like a meditative, cogitative breath, is mindful.
Inhale. We attach ourselves to the moment. We slow down and we meditate.
Exhale. We release tension. We'll breathe in again together. Breathe in. And then out.
To create is to breathe. As each breath of oxygen diffuses into our lungs and subsequent carbon dioxide exits, each novel stimuli in our environment enters our brains to, in turn, be released as newly transformed phenomena.
Each breath is a force of meditation and release.
The creation is a force of meditation and release.
We'll breathe in one last time. Breathe in. And then out. Thank you.
Our hymn is hymn number 659. I'll invite you to stand. We will sing together hymn number 659.
Thank you.
peace of God be with you all. Let us pray. God, our refuge and strength, you have bound us together in a common life. In all our conflicts, help us to confront one another without hatred or bitterness, to listen for your voice, and to work together for the common good. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Our scripture reading is from 1 John chapter 3. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses help? Little children, let us love, not in word or speech, but in truth and action. And by this we will know that we are from the truth, and we assure our hearts before him. Holy wisdom, holy word, thanks be to God.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Leah Mote, and I'm a junior biology and Spanish double major from Chanhassen, Minnesota. I would like to start by saying how grateful I am to have the opportunity to speak with you all today. I really appreciate all of the opportunities that are available within the Gustavus community, and particularly during this time of daily Sabbath, for students to express and share their faiths and thoughts within such a safe community. Gustavus has given me the time and the space to live out my passions of exploring my faith, speaking Spanish, promoting health and well-being, engaging in service work, and seeking out world travel. And it has been these passions that have formed my values and shaped me into the person I am today. College is great for this. It's a place set aside to think, to learn, to develop, and to become who we were created to be. And I really like that. I like the safety net I have here, the social support, the comfort of my community, and the closeness I feel on this campus. Amidst the frightening news stories of violent protests, growing divisions between races and social classes, the harsh reality of climate change, and the increasing bigotry, hatred, and fear which we continue to face in our country and world, this campus can offer us a sort of safe haven. This is a place where we can be with the people we know, where we can attend chapel and sing our favorite hymns, where we take comfort in the familiarity of our traditions and celebrations, and where many of us feel like we have the space to live out our passions. And while all of this certainly seems comforting, maybe it could get a little too comfortable. How can we challenge ourselves to look beyond our lives or our campus? Because even though it doesn't always seem like it, we are part of a large, diverse, global community, which means that what goes on in the world affects us. And what we do on this hill, or in this town, or in this state, or in this country, also affects the world. As global citizens, people all around the world are our neighbors. People to know, people to learn from, and to walk alongside of. In the scripture passage that was just read, we are challenged to think about how we can show God's love through our actions for the good of our neighbor, which honestly seems like a pretty huge task for us college students who just struggle to make it to our 8 a.m. classes on time. This is the gift and the challenge of living in relationship with one another. It can be difficult at times, make us uncomfortable at times, cause us to question our own worldview at times, teach us at times, and hopefully inspire reflection and growth once in a while. This all has become increasingly evident to me during the trips I've been making to El Salvador over the past 4 years. My home congregation has established a sister church relationship with a church in El Salvador that primarily serves special needs children and their single mothers. As the young adult leader for this program, my role is to plan and lead the trips, using my Spanish-speaking skills to facilitate the relationship building between us and our brothers and sisters of our sister church. Through these relationships, I have learned what it means to accompany our global neighbors through a mutual connection of faith. El Salvador can be a difficult place to travel to. When we go, we are witnesses to extreme poverty and intense gang violence. Education is not possible for all young people there. The government has a long history of corruption, and frequent droughts make it difficult for farmers to earn a living. It is quite easy for us to see the very physical needs of our partners. During this past summer, we had the opportunity to visit the home of Sandra, Alma, and William. This family lived along a set of abandoned railroad tracks in a particularly dangerous area of San Salvador. They told us that the government is threatening to reopen these tracks, which means that they would lose their home, and so would hundreds of others living in the temporary housing units nearby. Inside their home, we saw the grocery cart that Sandra, the mother, pushes up and down the tracks every morning at 5 a.m., selling bread and coffee to laborers headed to work, before coming back home to help her two children, both with special needs, get ready for school. Sandra will then ride the bus to school with Alma and William because they are too vulnerable to go alone, and then spends her day waiting outside the school's doors as they learn, because she can't afford the bus fare to go home and then to come back to pick them up when they're done with classes. God calls us to love, not in word or speech, but in truth and action. And when we hear these stories and meet with these people in El Salvador, the travelers in our group certainly feel called to action. The challenge, however, is that our well-meaning, good intentions often motivate us to want to take action that stems from our wealthy North American perspective. We would love to fix what we observe to be broken. But this is not how God calls us to love. I believe that love is a verb. It is active. It is a call on our hearts by a God whose love abides in all of us. We are to love, not fix. We are to love, not judge. We are to love, not question motivations or backgrounds. We are to love, not build walls or keep people in nice, neat little boxes. As members of a global church and community, we are called to accompany or walk alongside of our neighbors. As our program has developed, we have learned that the act of accompanying our neighbors is a sustainable, meaningful, and tangible way of showing love in our global and local communities. Accompaniment means walking together in a solidarity that practices interdependence and mutuality. It involves listening to the stories of others and offering support in daily challenges. Solidarity can be practiced with people here and away. If any of you are, like me, preparing for an upcoming experience in a different country, think about the ways in which you could live out your love with the people you encounter. Think about situations that can get you next to someone who is living or working or playing in their unique ways, and ask questions. Seek for understanding. Allow yourself to be invited in and to work alongside of the people you meet. My hunch is that if we do these things, we will experience love. And you don't have to go abroad to act out love in a community. Here on this campus are people whose stories differ from your own. By getting to know their stories and learning about their lives, we can join them in their daily struggles and successes. I encourage you to create a Gustavus experience that challenges you to think of the ways you accompany the global community in which we live. Choose coursework that exposes you to global issues. Take advantage of opportunities to get off campus, whether through community service in the area or through study abroad, and work to build relationships with people whose lives and experiences give you the agency to make a difference. Loving our neighbors does not stop with saying hello to a familiar friend on a way to class. It's not enough to choose to only love our neighbors who live on this campus, or choose to love those who look like us, or who think like us, or who love like us. Loving our neighbors means accompanying and standing in solidarity with our brothers and sisters, both in our home communities and around the world, whose struggles we may not be able to fully comprehend, but whose successes we value and whose lives deserve dignity. And today I am thankful for the communities that accompany me. As my home congregation accompanies our sister church in El Salvador, likewise, they are mutually walking alongside of us. This solidarity is shown through exchange of meaningful gifts, time spent together every summer, generous hospitality, and through frequent prayers and communication. And I also know that I am accompanied by people on this campus, by my professors who know me beyond my test scores, by other faculty members who support me as I envision my future, and by my friends who listen to me and share in both my successes and my failures. I am grateful for your commitment to my well-being and for your willingness to walk alongside of me as I work to discover all that God has in store. I suppose that what I often hear about college students is true, that we are able to live a pretty self-focused life right now. Things are good here on the Hill. We've got what we need, we're pretty well taken care of, and for the most part, we just need to worry about ourselves. But we are also part of a community, both locally and globally, that is crying out for us to be involved. Let's listen and act out the love which we have already received. Amen.
We thank Leah for her wonderful words, and for our closing this day, we will ask Clay and Emily to come forward one more time.
Al-Wahhab, the bestower.
Go in peace to love and to serve. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.